Hey, everybody. It's on the Charlie Kirk Show. The legendary Stephen Miller joins us about illegals voting in our elections. And we couple that with Wes Allen, who has a similar warning. He is the Secretary of State of Alabama. Become a member today to support our program and listen to all of our episodes advertiser-free. Members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Joining us now is Stephen Miller. He is brilliant when it comes to all things immigration, and I want to talk about the SAVE Act and all the controversy around it. I want to start with Elon Musk's tweet. Quote, when combined with mail-in ballots, the system is designed to make it impossible to prove fraud. Mail-in and drop boxes should not be allowed, as cameras on the in-person voting stations would have at least prevent large-scale fraud by counting how many people showed up versus ballots cast. Wow. Elon Musk is spot on. And what's amazing is Elon Musk might have called that a fringe theory 4 years ago, and now the world's wealthiest man is trying to warn us about what's happening. Stephen Miller joins us now, America First Legal. Stephen, how many illegals do you think will end up voting this November in the election?
Well, certainly more than would be the normal margin of victory in a battleground or swing state. I mean, it's anybody's guess what the upward limit is going to be when you've added probably all things considered, gotaways, apprehensions, unknowns, visa overstay, something like 15 million in the span of 4 years. But it's certainly going to be larger than the conventional margin of victories in swing states, you know, 5,000, 10,000, 11,000, et cetera. It'll be a larger number than that. And so this means that since there's nothing that we can do, let me rephrase it, passing the SAVE Act into law would require Senate Democrats to enact it, and it would require Joe Biden to sign it, right? So it is a fact that illegal aliens are going to be voting in this election. There's an affirmative obligation that the RNC has to litigate it relelessly, that every state AG has in a state that they're in charge of to fight to prevent it. And we've sent a roadmap at America First Legal for how to do that. There is a need for every single office holder up and down who has the ability to do so to fight it, to litigate it, to combat it. But the reality is that take a state like, say, Michigan, every single statewide office holder in Michigan is going to be on the side of helping more illegal aliens vote. That's just the fact. So you're going to be looking at, no matter what the result is in a particular state, a significant number of illegal alien ballots. I don't see any way that's not going to be the case.
So let me ask you, Stephen, what, I forget Congress, they're largely a waste of time because Biden wants illegals to vote. Are Republicans preventing this from happening in Georgia or Texas or Arizona? Are they doing anything to prevent this, or are we just talking about it?
Mostly just talking about it. So my organization sent a letter to all 50 states, America First Legal, outlining what, if they wish, they can do to purge illegal aliens from the voter rolls. And that involves a process of going to DHS, requesting access to databases, and then cross-referencing your voter rolls against those databases. And if DHS doesn't comply as required by law, then you have to take them to court. This all takes time, willpower, and energy. I've not yet received any confirmation from any state that anybody who is in a position to execute this plan has done so, to my knowledge or awareness. And so there's an urgent need to hurry up and get this going before that window closes, because DHS can just beat the clock, right? They can just refuse to cooperate, knowing they'll lose a court case, but that the courts won't have time to enforce their compliance.
I got to interrupt, Stephen. What is wrong with the Republican Party? I mean, why do we not have Republican AGs or secretaries of state that are making this their top priority? We fell 42,000 ballots short. Keyword, ballots short in 2020. 42,000 ballots short. We have imported anywhere between 8 to 10 million new foreigners in this country in the last 3.5 years. Let's say only 1% of them, 1% end up voting in the key states. That is well past the margin, as you say, Stephen. Why is our side so unwilling to try and fix this, investigate this, or address this? Again, there's a lot of chatter about this, but no one who has political power is doing anything.
Yeah, well, let me switch hats here for a second and talk to you, Stephen Miller, a private citizen, so that I can speak candidly about the Republican Party. The Republican Party is a party that loves to complain, but rarely acts. We all know this. And right now, you're at a crisis point because the window, as I mentioned, to purge illegal aliens off the voter rolls in states where we do have at least one statewide office. So we have the governor's mansion in Nevada. We have complete statewide control in Virginia, which could easily decide the election. We have complete statewide control in Georgia. Texas is not a presidential battleground, but it's a House deciding battleground. Absolutely determines control of the House. And there is a competitive Senate race. So in state after state where we have control that could control the balance of power in this country, no, we are not doing the job. And so it's important that everybody contact their state office holders and say, you have the legal ability today to demand DHS give you its databases of aliens and non-citizens, cross-reference them against your voter rolls, and purge all non-citizens from your voter rolls. You could do that today. If DHS doesn't comply, you can sue them. You will win. The law is clear that you do not have a lot of time to do this. It is the window is not closed, but it is closing fast.
So let's be very specific. The call to action then is, let's, for example, Texas Secretary of State, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, is to cross-reference with DHS foreign nationals with...
Right, it really would be, yeah, Secretaries of State. I mean, obviously the AGs will be litigating, but the Secretaries of State are the ones who need to be, or the governors who can direct it to be done, like in Nevada, who need to be contacting DHS and saying, we need, one of the databases is called SAVE, S-A-V-E, but to say we need access to the federal databases of known aliens in the country so that we can cross-reference it against our voter rolls and purge all the non-citizens from our voter rolls, make sure they don't receive ballots, make sure they can't turn in ballots, make sure they can't submit ballots. That is something that could be done today. If my office doesn't cooperate, you take them to court, I believe that you will win very easily.
So there you go. That's the call to action. So, for example, the Secretary of State of Texas, let's take Texas, critical state, Ted Cruz, whoever, can we find the name of the Secretary of State of Texas?
Yeah. Could probably
do this
a dozen
tomorrow.
House seats up for grabs in Texas.
Yeah, so they just are, yes. Are they lazy?
Well,
or help me understand. I guess they're just sitting on their hands and they don't want to admit that this is happening.
Everybody, to be a Republican is to assume that everybody else is going to solve your problem.
Of course, that's
beautifully
said. Or to
engage in magical thinking sometimes.
That's right. So Stephen,
here's the other thing for your listeners at home to understand all this is that this is not a solution, but it is part of it, which is that we have to also begin resigning ourselves to the fact that we're going to need to win by a margin that's too big to rig. In other words, everyone who's part of this process needs to start understanding the fact your real win, like honestly accounted, of 10,000 votes will not hold up in any swing state. In other words, if your actual honest victory is 10,000 votes, you will lose by at least 1,000 votes, right? So we need to now understand and internalize the margin of victory needed in every state has to be significantly above their ability to rig.
Are you telling me that when somebody registers to vote in Texas, that Texas is not cross-referencing it to make sure they're a U.S. citizen?
My understanding, and I don't want to single out Texas in the sense that there might be information I don't have access to, so I'll qualify it. But my understanding is that no state has done a systemic review of its voter rolls against the SAVE and other DHS databases, unknown and suspected aliens. To my knowledge, that has not been done. Because remember, that is something that has to be done after registration has occurred. Otherwise, the whole point is that current court rulings prohibit pre-screening for citizenship. Right? That's the fraud built into the system. So you cannot, no state in the country is allowed to check if you're a citizen prior to becoming a registered voter for a federal election. So all of the work has to be done on the back end. I'm not aware of any comprehensive effort in any state to do that back end work.
But let me understand, this is how easy it is. You can register to vote and lie and say that you're a U.S. citizen. And you could register to vote, get a mail-in ballot, fill it out. It gets counted in the election, and too bad, so sad. If 40,000 people do that in Arizona, it could determine the entire state of Arizona. The entire state of Arizona.
Even more importantly than that is the fact that, which goes back to the post you read at the beginning of this interview, is that not only can you do all the things you just said, but if the ballot is mailed in, the actual ballot itself is separated from the envelope and becomes untraceable.
Yep.
So if an illegal alien votes, the actual ballot, so when you hear about recounts, oh, we recount, all you're doing is counting the same damn piece of paper. No name, no signature, no identifying information. You're literally just counting a oval that has been circled in. They separate the ballot from the actual envelope, so you will not even know that the illegal alien cast that.
It makes you wonder, Stephen, I got to interrupt. Maybe this is why Biden is so chill. Maybe this is why Biden is so confident. He says, oh, I'm going to win. And the Republican Party.
But my message to everyone, because I cannot contribute, and I will not let myself contribute to an attitude of despair. My message to everyone is you have to demand that your elected officials act, number one. And number two, you have to accept the Everest you have to climb now. Every state needs to win by a margin significantly over 10K. You have to commit yourself to that program and that project, because we are going to win this thing, but we're going to have to do it by winning these states by a significantly larger margin. Razor thin margins aren't going to cut it. So we all have to get out, every one of us in our own roles, and do the damn work.
Stephen Miller from America First Legal. Excellent work. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey there. Investing feels overwhelming right now, doesn't it? So complicated, so many decisions. But leaving your money in the bank, not so great. It's losing value every single day. So if it's stressing you out and driving you nuts, invest with Noble Gold Investments. Their precious metals are simple and real. There isn't a company on the stock market that was around 2,000 years ago, but gold was. It's always been there through wars, disasters, and turmoil. Reliable, dependable, and authentic. That's why you can't go wrong with precious metals. They've always had your back. Noble Gold Investments' American-based experts will show you how to set and forget your IRA or 401k. You'll get a dedicated professional assigned to you. No hassle, no call centers. Colin Plume runs Noble Gold Investments. We've had him on the show before. He's awesome. I love hanging out with him. He's terrific. I can vouch for his integrity and for his knowledge about gold and silver. In fact, I have my silver right next to me right here. I buy all of my gold from Noble Gold Investments. I have vetted them top to bottom. In fact, I know a billionaire that just made a very big purchase of gold from Noble Gold Investments. So visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to claim your gold coin. This month, Noble Gold Investments is giving a free quarter ounce gold standard coin at each qualifying IRA investment. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com, NobleGoldInvestments.com. We got an email here. Says, Charlie, you realize that Biden's arrogance is based on the game is rigged. We must strategize to win. Look, so here's the thing. I'm not saying the game is rigged. Biden's arrogance is first on himself. Secondly, he does think that there are enough glitches and components in the machinery of how we do elections that it will be enough for him to be able to get another term. That is where we come in. If there is such an overwhelming grassroots get-out-the-vote operation, and for example, in that early voting period, election day is the last day of voting. If we do the work and chase ballots and register voters and get lower propensity or no propensity voters to vote in that early voting period, we give ourselves a fighting chance. And by the way, remember what Stephen Miller said. There is a buried lead here. You might say, I don't trust mail-in voting. That's fine. Go do in-person early voting. Or go, if you show up on election day, be ready to wait in line for 3-4 hours, which a lot of people were not willing to do that. in the Kerry Lake election, a lot of people were disenfranchised. We got emails of people that were not able to vote because the machines went down. So voting on game day comes with a risk. That's just the goofiness of our current system. Is if the bad guys are able to fraudulently fill out ballots and put them in the system and have them correctly counted, well then, why don't we put legitimate ballots into the system and have them counted? And that's the point. Is that if there is somebody who is not going to vote and they say, I don't want to vote, I'm asking you to fill in a piece of paper. Do you know that when Donald Trump fell 10,000 ballots short in Arizona, 10,000 ballots short, that there were over 300,000 ballots that went unfilled in just the East Valley in Mesa, Gilbert, Chandler, Queen Creek. There were 300,000 Republican ballots that did not get submitted or filled out, and we fell 10,000 ballots short. The greatest fraud in front of us is people that receive mail-in ballots in the mail that are Republicans and fail to fill them out and send them in. There are margins that they cannot account for because we do outnumber them. But it's going to require a grassroots operation of volunteers that we've never seen before. I had a man come up to me in Montana who actually lives in Arizona. He said, Charlie, how can I help? We spend our winters down in Queen Creek. I said, we're going to put you to work at Turning Point Action. I said, we're going to give you a list of 1,000 voters, and you are going to politely and nicely harass them until they turn in their ballot. And you'll say, I'll stop knocking on your door when your ballot gets submitted. I'll stop calling you when your ballot gets submitted. And you do that for 30 days straight. And you start with 1,000 names, and then you go down 995 names. Then you go to 800 names. As the ballots are submitted, your list shrinks. And people will say, stop calling me. Hey, if you turn in the ballot, I'll leave you alone until the next cycle. And that's it. And that is what the Democrats have done so well, is they deploy hundreds, if not thousands, of these people in that early voting period. And they will say, you got to turn in your ballot, got to turn in your ballot, got to turn in your ballot. We have never done any of that on the conservative side. And that's exactly the ballot chasing army that we're hiring right now. Right now, we have 60 full-time people being onboarded in Wisconsin alone. And you can join the citizen force and become a force multiplier in your community and your country. And so I'm trying to prep all of you. Right now is the phase of voter registration. That phase will come to an end in mid-September. It will become too late to register new voters. So right now, it's a matter of increasing the supply of people we have on the voter rolls that could potentially vote by mail that are low prop voters. And that's the work that we need to be doing every day. Wear the hat, go to the grocery store, engage in the conversations. Okay, when that phase ends and the next phase begins, it's when all these ballots get sent out. I wish that wasn't the case. But when all these ballots are sent out, we are then on a daily basis going to try to encourage you to deploy you to then go nicely and politely harass your neighbors, nicely and politely harass. You might say, how do I know these people are? The Turning Point Action app will show you where they are. They'll show you, this house just got a mail-in ballot and they haven't submitted it. This house got a mail-in ballot and they haven't submitted it. This apartment had got a mail-in ballot and they haven't submitted it. And they're all Republican Trump voters that we've registered to develop relationships with. Do you see the force multiplying effect here? Mail-in takes 3 minutes. I'm not asking you to storm Normandy Beach. I'm not asking you to go take out a second mortgage on your home. I'm asking you, by the way, people say, I don't have a stamp. It's not a stamp. It's official government. It's paid for. There is no cost. There's no stamp. It's free. It's paid for by the taxpayer. So in this 30-40 day period, it's can we get the most amount of ballots into the system as quickly as possible? Phase right now, register voters. Phase coming up, can we get ballots into the system to outvote the fraud? It'll be on us to do it. Okay, joining us now, very important conversation, is Wes Allen. He is the Secretary of State of Alabama. So Wes, we see a lot of people that are angry right now yelling at the Biden administration. We see a lot of lawsuits. We see a lot of people complaining that illegals might be voting in our elections. You are the Secretary of State of Alabama. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, listen, thanks, Charlie, for having me on. I really appreciate it. Yeah, it's a top priority for this office is to make sure elections are fair, secure, transparent, and accountable. And we're working every day. Our team here in the office, lockstep, lock and arm, same philosophy, making sure that we have clean voter files, the cleanest in the country, and making sure that non-citizens cannot get registered to vote and do not vote in our elections. Only American citizens should be allowed to vote in our elections. I think that's common sense. I think that's simple. I don't know why anybody would oppose that. And so we get up every day when we drive into this state capitol complex and go to work for the people of Alabama. And what we've been able to find over the last several months has been, appalling. And we wanted to shed light on it. I testified not long ago in the front of the U.S. Senate Rules Committee about the NVRA. I know we're going to probably talk about that later, but amending that. And I know that's what the SAVE Act does as well, Representative Roy's bill. So a lot of important topics in front of us. November 5th is quickly approaching, and we're working hard each and every day to secure elections.
So let's take a step back here. What have you discovered, and add as much detail as you possibly can?
So we got a complaint from a relative of a deceased individual, somebody that passed away, and they said, hey, we got this voter registration form from state Medicaid, and we're concerned about it because this person had been deceased over 2 years. And so that really raised alarm bells. It raised my antenna up to really kind of get to work and dig in. And, well, we got that issue solved and figured out, but it led to other questions and led us down another rabbit hole about, all right, well, who else is getting these voter registration forms? And what we come to find out, Charlie, that anybody that comes in contact with Medicaid or DHR in Alabama, and of course, they're under the NVRA as well, the National Voter Registration Act. But anybody that comes in contact with Medicaid and DHR, they receive a voter registration form. No matter if that person receives the public benefits or not, they may be turned down for the public benefits, but they're getting that voter registration form. And what that means is, and what we found out, is that legal non-citizens, if they come in contact with these two state agencies, and illegal aliens, if they come in contact, they are receiving the voter registration forms. And that, to me, just, when you couple that, Charlie, with the EO from Biden from March of 2021, when he basically mobilizes and weaponizes the entire federal government apparatus to become voter registration agencies and a turnout machine for the Democratic Party, it is really shocking, appalling, and we're doing everything that we can under the Constitution and under our state laws and federal law to make sure we push back on this and to make sure that there are not any legal non-citizens or any illegal aliens that are registering their vote and voting in Alabama.
So how does the NVRA play into this, and why are the feds trying to control what happens in Alabama?
Well, the NVRA was passed in 1993, and it really sets up a mechanism for agencies that are federally funded to act as voter registration arms. And that's one thing, in my opinion, that needs reform. And it's imperative that Republicans win back, hold on to the House, win back the Senate, and then we put Trump back into office, because we have got to reform the NVRA, take that part out of that, and to institute those changes that Representative Roy is talking about with his SAVE Act.
So apparently there's a 4-year delay to cleaning the bad names off these rolls. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Tell me more about that.
It is. You are exactly right, Charlie. It takes 4 years to remove someone from our voter files here. And that's for any state across the country. Obviously, we can remove a deceased individual immediately once we get that information from our Alabama Department of Public Health. But if someone moves, if John Doe moves from, let's just say, Tuscaloosa County, Alabama, to let's just say another state, and it takes 4 years to put them on that process to remove them from our voter files here in Alabama. And that's just entirely too long. I testified to that in front of the U.S. Senate, that said we need to bring that way down because voter file maintenance is the bedrock foundation of election integrity. If we don't start with voter file maintenance, it's just like playing football. If you don't have a great offensive line or a great defensive line, you're not going to have a very good team. So voter file maintenance is the foundation and the bedrock of election integrity, and that's where it all starts.
So, yeah, and I think that's exactly right. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Is the bird flu the next pandemic? Why do globalists keep talking about disease X? Everyone knows the next medical crisis is just around the corner. I refuse to lock down again or take another experimental vaccine. What can I do? Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's where the Wellness Company comes in. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust. Their prescription medical kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. Go to getwellwithcharlie.com and be ready for anything. Their medical emergency kit, contagion kit, travel kit, and first aid kit all contain life-saving medications and a guidebook to aid in safe use of these life-saving medications. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID to the bird flu, even a bioweapon like the plague, the Wellness Company's prescription medical kits are exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Go to getwellwithcharlie.com and save 10% with promo code Charlie. That is getwellwithcharlie.com, promo code Charlie. And so here's what I don't quite understand, is that the states are supposed to be able to control their own elections. That is constitutionally very, very clear. How can the federal government tell you, as a state elected representative, as the states being ultimately sovereign when it comes to elections, who you can remove from your voter rolls and when?
Well, unfortunately, the NVRA has been litigated in federal court. And so we're up under those federal opinions from federal courts. But when they passed it back in 93, it has withstood challenges before. And so we are up under that. We're up under those opinions, and we are operating within the confines of that law and those opinions. But believe me, for instance, we signed a memorandum of understanding with Tennessee, our neighboring state, as we have with Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, Arkansas. But we've exchanged data on a bilateral agreement with Tennessee, and we found over 8,000 individuals that are registered in Tennessee that are also registered in Alabama. And so we sent those individuals a letter and told them to remove themselves. You know, if it was a mistake, let us know. If not, remove themselves. But if we don't hear back from them, we put them on the path to removal. Now, it takes two federal election cycles to be removed. And so it takes a while to do it. And as you know, Charlie, people in the country, they move around a lot more than they used to. And so they're transient and more than we've seen in the past. And so we need less years to be able to remove those individuals.
Well, yeah, you're doing a great job. Why the federal government calls the shots over why you in Alabama should not be able to remove, you have to go through this long, drawn-out process. So let's go back to this idea
expensive.
Now. It's expensive. Of foreign nationals that are not American citizens potentially voting in our elections. So you said that the Alabama Medicaid agency was sending out registration forms that were shaky, to people that were suspect. Is that correct?
Correct. Not only did they send it to someone that was deceased, but we started asking questions. All right. We asked a series of about 12 to 14 different questions of not only Medicaid, but of the Department of Human Resources. And they're authorized under the NVRA and also state law to send out those forms. So we asked a bunch of questions and come to find out, you know, anybody, like I said, that comes in contact with those agencies, they receive the voter registration form. And that's something that we have got to change.
And this is a federal program that could be giving medical aid to illegals and then registering them to vote. So let me just have a hypothetical here. If you were to be a whistleblower came to you and said, hey, there are 100 foreign nationals in Mobile, Alabama that are registered to vote, are you allowed to remove them immediately from the voter rolls?
No, they would have to be in conjunction with the boards of registrars. And just the way we do things in Alabama, we have 67 counties. We have boards of registrars who take care and do the actual voter registration. In our office, we don't do the actual voter registration. We just oversee the centralized voter file and provide guidance and directives to these boards of registrars as it pertains to Alabama state law and federal law. So we would work in conjunction with the boards of registrars and to make contact if we received a complaint of someone that may be illegally registered to vote because they're a non-citizen, either legally or an illegal alien. We would work very, very closely with those boards of registrars and start down that path to getting them removed.
Wes, you're doing a great job. And what would be your call to action for every Republican Secretary of State or attorney general to help fix this? Because this seems to be a very serious looming problem.
Well, listen, we've got a lot of great conservative Republican secretaries of states and attorneys generals doing a lot of fine work and a lot of heavy lifting and working with their local elected officials that run the elections on the county level. And without them, we wouldn't have elections. But I would say just remain vigilant. I mean, Charlie, let me give you an example. We reached out to the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services to gain a list of the legal non-citizens that are in our country, because we wanted to have that list and run that against our voter file so we could remove any potential legal non-citizens that may have registered to vote. And we were turned down. They said, no, you can't have it. And, you know, Charlie, you're a taxpayer. I'm a taxpayer. I represent over 5 million taxpayers in this state of Alabama. And we're going to continue that fight to gain access to that information. And also, we need access to the Social Security National Death Index free of charge, without any red tape, mm-hmm. without any having to jump through hoops to remove those individuals that have passed away, remove them instantaneously. Because if someone travels out of state on a vacation and they pass away in another state away from Alabama, that's that other state's information. We don't have the information. So
yep.
I'm telling you what, we've got to make some changes and we've got to reform the NVRA. We've got to keep pushing back on some of these things that Biden is doing. He is radical and he is lawless.
Wes Allen, Secretary of State of the great state of Alabama. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
Let's go to some tape here. It's really remarkable. This is Jake Tapper reading an incoherent quote from Morning Joe word for word. The media is intensifying their move to get rid of Joe Biden. Play cut 46.
How can you assure you're going to be on you know, faith that can intervene on your way to go to, you know, work tomorrow? Age wasn't, you know, the idea. I'm too old.
The fact of the matter is, how can you assure you're going to be out on, you know, on your way to go, you know, work tomorrow? Age wasn't, you know, the idea that I'm too old. Keep in mind, that soundbite is supposed to be reassuring to those Democratic supporters who have gone wobbly. Many Democratic officials with whom I've spoken are worried that President Biden and his family and his inner circle appear to be in complete denial, not just about whatever might be wrong with him, but the state of his candidacy.
Jake Tapper continues and says 72% of voters think that Biden is too old and that voters have been saying this for a very long time. Play cut 47.
In reality, 72% of voters say that they believe President Biden is too old. That's according to CNN's most recent polling. Voters have been saying this for quite a long time. The reality is that the Democratic elites are mostly late to acknowledge these age and ability issues compared to the rest of the public. The elites have been forced to reckon with it after the debate just 11 days ago.
You see, there's this pent-up anger that the media feels right now. The press has been restricted access to Joe Biden for quite some time. And Jake Tapper is saying the elites have shielded him. And it's true. The White House press corps, how many stories have they lied about now in just the last 4 years? 4 or 5 years. Russiagate, COVID, masks, lockdowns, vaccine, school closures, fine people, suckers and losers, that Donald Trump wants you to take hydroxychloroquine or horse dewormer, ivermectin, that he wants you to inject bleach into your veins or drink bleach. The media lied about the Ukraine-Russian situation, Hunter Biden laptop, and they covered and covered and covered for Joe Biden. In some ways, there is a credibility crisis right now going on with the media. This is why all of a sudden they're trying to compensate. Understand this, that the media was embarrassed that they got found out during this debate. That's really what's going on here. What's going on here is that they say, oh my goodness, the American people see that we're complete partisan frauds. By the way, we've known that for quite some time. That's why shows like ours are growing. One top reporter said to us, this is an indictment of the entire DC press corps. Obviously, we've never trusted you for some time. By the way, I've been calling around to a lot of reporters that I know, and Andrew has too. They are now doing the most aggressive journalism that one can now do against the Biden regime, because this is a massive credibility crisis where they are trying to win back people's trust and favor, of which we all know that's not going to happen. How bad is it going for Joe Biden? Well, they're continuing trying to push him out. This is Don Quigley, Democrat representative, play cut 33.
I know individuals that I've talked to who have been processing this, thinking about it, talking to their constituents, most importantly, looking at polls. And again, none of them have anything but the greatest respect for the president. This is, and always will be, the most important aspect of this is that we can't allow a second Trump term, recognizing what that means. So it's going to be an amazing, unfortunately, horrible week.
And then Jim Clyburn now says, we are riding with Biden. They can't get rid of him. Joe Biden is saying, I am the nominee. No matter what, you can't get rid of me. I'm in charge. You are not. Is Joe Biden going to get healthier in the next couple of months? Is he going to find a new pep in his step? That's usually not the way that dementia works. This is an indictment of the entire D.C. press cabal. They lie to you. They are protectors of this entire crime family, and now they're all of a sudden trying to play catch up, and they're scrambling. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.